on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh yes, second time lucky. Hey, good afternoon and good evening and good Monday morning to you if you're on the Antipodean side of this planet. It's now, it's 3 PST, it's 6 Eastern and 11 PM UK. Here, I'm in Scotland, my stupendous, delicious guest is upon 8 hours on the other, it's not an Antipodean, it's like quarter way round, so it's a trine, sort of 60 degrees, anyway. A third of the way around the planet. I'll just, without very much further ado, but with plenty of bigging up. she's been my guest for almost forever, a good friend, and a very stable mentor at times, and it's been lovely to always have you kind of there, even though nobody else. It's like sometimes all I see is this little sort of flag sticking out of a cave. So, re-emergence for my dear friend Katie Galanti. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I am re-emerging from the cave. I'm a Cancer, right? So we do caves very well. When we decide to go in one, we can do it really well.
Sure, and with plenty of armor-piercing weapons to keep you company.
That's right. Well, this has been a really challenging year for me on the personal level, yes. Right? So there's been... it's almost like hard even to put into words, because it's almost like there was a challenge and then another challenge and then another challenge and then another challenge. And after a while, it's like almost, when you're playing tennis and there's the thing that throws you balls and you have to swat them all one after the other.
Yeah.
That being 2015 for me. But I've swatted all the balls, right? So I'm actually feeling quite good at the moment, because I feel that, as I say, on a personal level, this was almost like a huge initiation year for me. But I feel that I passed, so I'm jazzed.
Definitely.
And I'm starting to get ready to come back out into the world. A lot of this stuff was happening very much at the personal level in my own personal life. So not really things that I... had much to talk about, that would benefit anybody else but myself, right? And then weaved into that, there was the usual theme of, nice, interesting little creatures coming to visit, it was almost like the psychic attack kind of came into my life instead of just being on the astral plane, right? So it was, it's been interesting, but as I say, it's also feels kind of resolved at the moment. So I am ready to come back out and start my work in this way again, right? So here I am.
That's great. So yeah, obviously, there's been an awful lot of very personal issues this year for a lot of people. There's been, It's, you know what it feels like? It feels like all the gristle has worn away and we're just kind of rubbing bones against each other in terms of the truth movement. And, you know, there is getting very fractious right now. And people are firing shots at each other. It's really like the war has you know, come into our own living room, as it were.
Yeah.
And you know, certainly I got, I haven't told you about this, but I got majorly attacked from a host last night.
Really?
Calling me all sorts of stupid things, which are completely untrue, but more of a description of himself. But, so, you know, well, there we go. I'm hated by professionals, you know, you can't, you know, you never hurt me.
That's an upgrade in itself, being hated by professionals. Like, very high quality people hate you now.
That's right. It's very important.
That's right. Yeah. Well, instead for me, it was, around February, whenever it is that we spoke last, I was kind of racing to get to the end of my dissertation, right? And then I got kicked out of the school, despite the fact that I was one of their best students. And then I had to get into a kind of a battle with that, that had a lot of different stages to it, a lot of different stuff going in that. And then eventually I managed to transfer to another school. And then in the other school, which is a blessing because they pretty much accepted most of my work. So I'm not going to lose that much. But then in that school, there was another set of interesting characters that showed up. So it was like, okay, how many different kinds of very difficult people can we meet? So it was it's just been a very interesting year, in adversarial year in some ways, of meeting different kinds of energies in the world, of a certain kind, and all very antagonistic. However, I think it was Castaneda that was talking about the worthy opponent, right? That there's something about confrontation with the worthy opponent that makes you look at yourself. It makes you look at, okay, so what am I doing? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? So it takes you into a place where you have to think a bit about yourself. And then if you've got any wounds kicking around, then you have to look at those too. And so on and so on. But in general, especially from the second part of the year onwards, for me, it was almost like, okay, universe has thrown me a lot of really nasty kind of attacking kind of energy and people that really, really do not like me, right? But I've decided that I like myself anyway.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So let's play. And then at that point it was almost like the flip side of the Pluto journey. I don't know if you're familiar with Pluto and the astrology kind of thing, that Pluto is about the dark side of power, but it's also about the positive side of power. So that's the flip side of that kind of lesson, is that then at some point you get into the positive side of your own power if you can actually work through all of the shadow stuff that is being thrown at you, right? Okay. So, you know, when people do that kind of thing, it kind of strengthens you in some ways. And I think that that is ultimately what this year was about. It was about, you know, getting to a place of bigger strength. But it was not a particularly pleasant way of getting there. But you can look back and you can see, okay, I can see what my soul had in mind there. Like, I can see what you were scheming, soul.
That's right.
And what you have in mind for this particular stretch, right?
Well, I mean, and here's the thing, isn't it? We think we know what we're doing, and then our soul, thwack, no, it's this. And you go, all right, I get you. You know, because you're fixated on something on the planes, and there's a higher plane that you need to look at.
Absolutely. And also, and this has been kind of humbling in some ways for this year, is that, you know, I thought that I was on track doing certain things, and I was, right? And then all sorts of other things started happening, and I'm like, okay, all of these things are blocking me from going in the direction in which I think I should be going, right? And so, because we do think that we have an idea about where we're going, and every now and then the universe goes, no, 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 you're not going there. And you're like, what? You know, I've been working for 10 years to go in this direction, right? And so for me, at least initially, it kind of brought up some issues around faith and trust in even the higher power. Like, you know, am I really, really being supported and guided here? Or did I get left alone in the bushes kind of thing, right? And where the hell are you guys directing me now? You know, that kind of thing. But then, you know, time goes by, and gradually the pieces of the puzzle start rearranging themselves, and then you can actually see, yeah, okay, I can see what it is that you had in mind. Which is a picture that, and this is where I think it really comes in, the fact that we're here in a body, but we're definitely directed by something that is bigger and higher than ourselves, in the sense that where I feel I'm being directed is definitely not birthed by anything inside of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, this was not my plan. Right?
It didn't feel like so, it, yeah.
Yeah, well, it is maybe at some other level, but I really do think that we signed on the dotted line to do certain things and to be of service, and so the universe then steers and says, well, the service that we have in mind now is this, right? And so even if you had in mind a certain kind of path, you know, the universe sometimes will steer you to a bigger path, but a path that you wouldn't have actually thought about. Okay, so I'm just putting that out there to people that maybe going through like a difficult time where their life is kind of being rearranged, right? It never feels very good when one's life is being rearranged, especially when you don't feel that you were the initiator of that, right? Like, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, right? And it's another thing of like walking by and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, your life is gone, right? And now we're going to put all the pieces back together in a completely different way. And but we're not going to tell you what that is until the picture is finished, right? So there's this transitional phase of like, and what the hell is this picture that you guys are putting together, right? That can be a little disconcerting or disorienting. But I feel that is something that a lot of people are going through. I mean, it's going through in my life. And astrologically, I have had Pluto opposing my Sun for pretty much all of 2014 and all of 2015, which is a highly transformational aspect, just a death rebirth aspect. And during 2014, I was like, yeah, sure, this is a piece of cake, I can handle this.
Right? Yeah, I remember discussing it. Oh, it's good. It's going to be a few changes, you know, little changes.
That's right, it's easy. And then it was like, okay, you think this is easy? Let's like put some let's put some gas under that, right? So but in general, I think even at the planetary level, we are going through this process of rearrangement, because we are going and attempting to go towards a higher reality, right? However, this higher reality requires for a lot of pieces to be pulled off, pulled away, and then being put together in a completely different way. And if you think about it, even just looking at our world, if we look at our world the way that it is right now and the way that it is organized right now, you know, with corporations and with the pyramid of power and with, you know, who in charge of that, and, you know, and the whole ideas that the ways that we have money that is arranged and pretty much all of the structures of the society, right? They are not what we will... You know, if you think of this higher level Earth and this higher level reality for Earth, all of these structures, they're not going to carry into this other Earth, okay? And by other Earth, I don't mean necessarily, you know, another planet or whatever, but just the higher octave of vibration of this planet that we're on right now and of the humanity structure that we have right now. So all of these structures, they're not going to carry into that. So that we're still looking at a rearrangement here of our society that hasn't quite even began in some ways, right? And going back to the astrology for a second, we are in the middle of Pluto in Capricorn, and we're right smack bang in the middle, in the sense that Pluto right now is at 15 of Capricorn, and all signs of 30 degrees, so 15 Capricorn is right in the middle, okay? We may not be exactly on 15, but we're hovering around that at the moment. And the Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008, and then I'll explain, and it goes out of Capricorn in 2024, all right? So what is Pluto, what is Capricorn, and what do the two do together? Capricorn is structures. Structures, people that have very strong Capricorn are usually very goal-orientated. They're often in business. They're often, they could do the corporate thing. It's an earth sign, but it's cardinal. So it has initiative and drive and all the rest of it. And Capricorn also has staying power. So usually things around business, politics, they can all go into the Capricorn basket, okay? And money as well, even of a certain kind. And then Pluto is about transformation, but it's also about power, and it's about death and rebirth. You can have people that have very strong Plutos that can be extremely powerful therapists and healers and so on, because they can go in and look at the dark stuff and transform it and heal it, right? But you can have people with a strong Pluto, and they are... they can hold this dark side of power, okay? They could be abusive, they can be, you know, psychopathic. The dark forces that we associate with what we call the Illuminati, those are Plutonian, the dark side of Pluto. So imagine putting that together with Capricorn, then you can see what these years are all about. They're about attempting to transform the dark power that is in charge of this world, right? So that's Pluto in Capricorn. It's a transformation process that has to do with the power structures, and it has to do with the money and the politics and all of that kind of stuff. So what happened when Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008? Do you remember anything that happened in 2008?
Oh, no, it was a really uneventful year. Nothing happened. Exactly. My money was just the same at the beginning as it was at the end. Nothing. I had nothing. Yeah. But as far as the rest of the... You see, here's the thing. I think that I've gone through a global crisis on a personal level.
Yes.
And I think that I'm going through, and probably you're going through too, the same thing that is going to happen globally, but we're experiencing it in our own beingness, in our own bodies, in our own lives, and things like that.
I couldn't agree more.
And I think that's how prophets work.
Yeah.
Because you can see the same processes going on that happened within your own body as there's going on in, say, the financial system. You know, you're learning about how pathogens are introduced into your diet, and how you know, evil algorithms are introduced into the financial system. You see what I mean? There are parallels that run, and as you go through the discovery process, you can see, oh well, the whole thing's a fractal, and that's how you can make a prediction. That's quite
absolutely. And also, I think there's even a deeper level to that too. That is that, how are you going to relate to people that are going through certain things if you haven't gone through something similar yourself, right?
Of course.
And I've actually had moments in which I've asked my counsels, you know, do I have to experience everything? Do you know what I mean? Like, I would like to not have to experience every single little thing, but I have not always been successful in negotiating that. Okay. But the... very often, you're absolutely right, that we end up experiencing on the personal level. And often in advance, I have found that very often in my life, I experience things about 6 months before they actually hit the collective, right? Like something in my life will happen about 6 months before the world goes through something similar. And very often the reason for that is because I have to understand it in order to be able to help, for example, any clients that come to me or that I have to write something about it. I have to have some kind of almost like homeopathic empathy with whatever it is that is going on out there, okay? And going back to the 2008 thing, 2008 was pretty much the whole, I can't even remember the name of it now. What was it? Economic crunch or whatever, what did they call it?
Well, this, it was the, I'm just trying to piece it all together because there was these things to do with the gold. There was to do with the Rothschilds and, of course, and all that. But there were these particular crises about, it was the beginning of all the scandals, really, when somebody was discovered, like, wasn't it the guy who sold, but gambled and lost, like, billions in some way?
Yeah.
That guy, I can't remember his name, Jimmy something.
It was all the derivatives scandal. They were
derivatives. That's the one.
That's right. And then what happened as a result was that a lot of people lost a lot of money. And then there was the bailout where they decided, oh, it doesn't matter that you guys have lost everybody's money. We're going to ask the people to. We're going to take the people's money and give it to you guys, to the banks, right, to make it better. And the world's economies have not quite recovered from any of that yet, okay? Now, at that time, I actually had savings, believe it or not, because I'd sold a house and I lost half of them, right, during literally overnight. And then in my own personal world, I had to go through all sorts of things to, you know, adjust to that, right? But in general, that was the beginning of Pluto and Capricorn coming in. It was also the year in which Obama was elected. And he's an interesting vessel for the Pluto and Capricorn energy because on the one hand, he looks on the surface very friendly and very humane. And in reality, his policies are terrible, right? And so he carries this very non-threatening vibe, right? But if you go and have a look at what the guy actually does, one should be, very wary, right, of all of the changes that this person has been making. And as we know, it's not him, it's the organization that just keeps ticking along and it doesn't really matter who's in charge of it, right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, apparently, after the... You know when Bill Hicks, he says, the guy gets elected president, he's taken to the back room, you know, the room goes dark, it's smoky, and zzz, down comes the screen, and you see a shot of Kennedy being assassinated from an angle that you've never seen before. Any questions?
That's right. Exactly. Although I think with this guy, I think some of them get briefed way beforehand.
Well, apparently he was told when he was a kid that he was going to be president. So
exactly.
Was and doesn't that give you total cojones on things? You know, but the thing is, he was also heard to after the election. After he had that conversation. He suddenly makes the realization that although he thinks he's been pumping up to be president all his life, he realizes that he's the fall guy, and he's heard to have like been crying into his hand saying, "Oh my God, I'm the fall guy," and he is. He's the one that's going to bring every single item of politics into a bad name, and he's just the figurehead. He's just the face on it. But it's like Colonel Sanders is the face of mass slaughter of chickens, you know? So, you know, rainbows and unicorns and hope and change. Yeah, I hope you'll change. Yeah, I hope it changes. No, the worst thing it could do is get worse. Anyway.
Yeah, I understand. So, so this is the transformation that we're going to go through. Okay, this Pluto and Capricorn thing, and as I say, we're in the middle of it. We have another, until 2024, that's like another 9 years of this, right? And 9 years of Pluto and Capricorn, we've already done seven of them. It's challenging energy. However, one of the things that happens with these kind of energies is that when you get to the midpoint, usually you start to move into the resolution. Okay, so very often when the planet goes into a sign at the beginning, you will have the crises, and then as you go towards the other half, you start to begin to move into the area of the resolution. So the crises, so in many ways that we have seen, is that we have been, some of us were already clear about this, but it's becoming clearer and clearer, even at the collective and mass consciousness level, that the structures of this world really, really are corrupt and toxic, and they do need to change, and they do need to go. And we've had the beginnings of that with the Occupy movement, that although it was a maneuvered movement, the people that actually participated into it were not maneuvered. They were kind of sincere, but being funneled in a certain direction. And gradually we're going to go more and more into a place where we're looking to create the change of these structures that are currently there. And at the moment, it feels to me that at the world level, we're really kind of going into crisis mode, and it's going to be interesting to see what 2016 is going to bring from that point of view, okay? Because it feels that, that this is almost like the peak, okay?
Yeah, the it seems that, you know what it's like to me? It's like a deep sea diver has to go down in stages and has to come back up very, very carefully, don't they? They have to decompress. And it feels like we're going through a compression phase, like we're having to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the darkness. And we wonder, one wonders, always wondered, how bloody intense is it going to get? How compressed do we have to be for us to come through the other side of that? Or the other way of saying it is, how long do we have to hold our breath, or at this pressure, can we breathe underwater?
Right. Well, I think there's an answer to that, and the answer is, it's going to continue to intensify until we get it. Okay? In the sense that, although a lot of us on a mind level and on a spiritual level understand what it is that is going on this planet, on an actual action level, we're still not doing a lot. Okay? And I've said this before, and I feel a bit, you know, it's not that I have any solutions, and maybe the solutions are not available to us yet, and maybe we really do need to go through this particular process, right? But things are not just going to change by us talking about certain stuff amongst ourselves on the radio. There has to be a point in which we get to really look at the world and say, okay, so how are we going to create the change about this, that, and the other? However, we still do not have, I believe, the critical mass that is required to do that at this point. We don't have it yet. I mean, it's getting there, but we don't have it yet. There's still a lot of people that are very invested and that believe what it is that is in front of them, right? Now, so until we get to a point where there's enough people that say, hey, all of this is not working the way that it should, and we need to make changes to it, we are going to see an intensification. And the intensification is not there to torture us, but it's there to put pressure so that we face what is going on. It's like if you keep increasing the pressure, eventually more and more people are going to see. And then at that point, there's going to be a moment in which people are going to, in general, not just us that are talking on the radio, but people in general are going to go, hey, hang on a minute, this doesn't quite work out, and why is this this way, and so on. And then we're going to start seeing some proper changes happening, okay? However, it seems that before we get there, you know, that there's some steps still. And at the moment, it's kind of interesting because on the one level, we have what feels like the intensification of a war story, right? Because all of this stuff that is going on between, you know, the fabricated ISIS and Syria and all of that, do you know what I mean? And I must be honest, I haven't been following every single thing about that because I just literally haven't had the time, because I've been busy doing some other intense stuff on the side, but I was told that it was okay for the moment, so I stopped focusing so much on certain things. But it seems to me that that is a story that is brewing, that is going to continue to brew. Then we have the, let's call it refugee, immigrant, whatever crises that is going on in Europe. And it feels to me that the focus is very much on Europe at the moment. Like everything seems to be going down in Europe right now. So that is one of the stages in which, you know, like the stage in the play, the stage at the moment is set to Europe, I think. So I think Europe is going to have a very tough 2016. And in some ways we have to, you know, every group of souls, it's almost like they volunteer to play out a story. And I think that's where the story is going to play out. And but everybody, we're all connected globally, so everybody is going to be witnessing whatever it is that is going on. And the purpose of all of this, ultimately, is for global awakening, right? And I've talked about this a lot of times on your show and on our show, so I try not to be too repetitive, but I have to repeat a little bit about certain things, just so that if somebody hasn't heard any of this.
Sometimes it really helps, and you know, when you do it in a different time space, you hear it in a different way, and you have a deeper understanding. Hopefully, a deeper understanding. So, thank you.
So I apologize for the people that have heard it 35 times. Right? But basically, the light and dark thing. You know, there is one level of reality in which the light and the dark are two opposing forces, and we are the light and they're the dark, and we're fighting it out, right? And we're the light and we want to win, and they're the dark and we have to stomp on their heads, right? And so there's this good and bad polarity view, polarity world, and there's a war between the polarities, and the light is trying to rescue this world in many ways from the darkness that it's been under for a very long time. That's one level of the story. It's a very real story at a certain level, okay? Then there's another level that is we all incarnated here for a reason, every single one of us, even you know, even the people that are not aware of this story, and that there is a light-dark thing going on, but however, the dark is a tool, a catalyst that has been put in place so as to be a trigger for awakening and initiation for a whole bunch of other souls. Because when somebody is faced with a very dark shadow aspect, and when somebody is faced with something very intense and very challenging, one has to dig for deep resources within oneself to be able to counteract that. And we have to do that on a personal level. That's part of what I went through this year in some ways, was something of that kind. And we also have to do it on a collective level, in the sense that at the collective level, as a human collective and family, we have to find a way to come together in a high vibrational way and find a way to overcome this challenger that in some ways is the dark side of the empire of Star Wars. Right?
There is no good and evil.
That's the right. And we have to overcome them so that we can then create another kind of world, right? And for those that are familiar with Joseph Campbell, he kind of mapped out this process and he called it the hero's journey. And he was very clear about the fact that one of the processes through which we grow is through undergoing a journey that is heroic. And during that journey, there are several stages that he mapped out, almost like as a psychological map for transformation through the facing of the adversary, right? And basically, you know, there's the call to, I think it was called the call to the adventure, where literally the hero that is not a hero yet, you know, if something comes along in their life they have to suddenly leave their family and so on, and they have to go onto this quest because their village is in danger. For example, if you look at the Lord of the Rings, Frodo and his bunch receive the call to the adventure when they realized that they had to go and to Mordok, right? Like they had to go over there into the Dark Land. But they had to go because otherwise their village was in trouble and so on and so on. And so off they go, and then they have to face all sorts of things. And then at the end, after having faced all of these things, Frodo comes back as the hero and everybody rejoices. And that's another stage in the in Campbell's journey. He says that there's always the hero returns and gets crowned, right? Now, that is a journey that people go through individually all the time when they have to face something very, very hard. And they manage and they come back enriched, right? And in all of those journeys, one of the pivotal points is when the hero that is not yet a hero has to face the really dark being or the really dire situation and doesn't know how to do it, and all of a sudden has to dig within the self and find the tools and the resources to be able to overcome that being, that person, that situation. And as they do so, then they become the hero. They also resolve the situation, but they also become the hero. They go to the next level of whoever they are within themselves. Now, this is also what we're doing at the collective level. What we're doing as a collective is that we as humanity, we are faced with a very dark adversary, which is, I would say, the human world manifestation of the Dracos and the dark energies. That's pretty much what we're dealing with, right? And all of its manifestations in our society, which have actually been here for a very long time, but kind of hidden. And now we're at a point where we have to face them, and we have to find the tools within ourselves as a collective a being to overcome that and to go to the next level of what it means to be human. And this is actually what the ascension cycle, if you want to use the word ascension, you can use the word a planetary shift or whatever. But what this process is actually about is about the upgrade of our collective being to a higher level of being. And on this particular planet, because we are in a world that is a world of polarity, that means where there is light and dark, one of the ways through which we're doing this is through facing this darkness and moving through it and getting to the other side and creating this new reality for ourselves. On a personal level, we're also doing that too, and how we're doing, on a personal level, the journey is slightly different in the sense that on a personal level, we are working through, at least the ones that are conscious, we're working through layers and layers and layers of karma and blockages and stuff so that we can become clearer and clearer and clearer. And by doing that, we can anchor higher and higher levels of our multidimensionality, like our higher selves and our multidimensional selves, and we're bringing them in here into the body so that we can embody a really high version of our own selves. And by embodying that higher version of our own selves, we then also become more empowered to tackle certain things as a group. But in some ways, the two journeys are not always 100% linked. There are some souls on the planet that are doing the personal bit and are not doing the collective bit. Okay? Although everybody participates in some ways just as an energetic contribution, not every single soul that is here is actually involved in the collective process in a conscious way. Okay? We don't all have exactly the same job description, right? And we're not all exactly here for the same reason. So that is the process that we're going through at the moment. And it seems to me that we are really kind of intensifying now. And we're right in the peak of what Joseph Campbell would call the moment in which we face the shadow. We're really coming up to it now, which has its little scary bits, right? But on the other hand, it's also a moment that has the potential for great planetary empowerment.
A few years ago, we did a show, and I called it Grandstanding the Shift. And I think I might just dig back into that and see what we were talking about then, or what you were speaking about then, certainly.
Right.
Because when was it? I mean, it must have been about 2010, 2011, and around there that you were talking, and it's playing out very much exactly as you were describing, for the reasons that we previously described. You know how it goes because this is how you've experienced it, and you then see it, how it plays out and everything. So anyway, Pluto has featured in the last 3 years in its little squares that it's been going on and off, on and off, on and off, grinding back and forwards like a knee joint without gristle. another joint without gristle is what was it, Pluto and Neptune? I don't know. I blocked it out of my mind.
It was Pluto Uranus.
Uranus, yes, all right, yes.
That's right. And those guys started facing each other off in 2010, and in theory finished earlier this year around, I can't remember exactly when, but it was like around March or something, okay? But depending on how people do their astrology, those two guys are still in orb. That means that they're not exact anymore, but they're still kind of shaking hands, okay? So, there's some people that will only consider that to be active while they are in orb, and definitely that is when things will be felt most intensely. But to some degree, they're still kind of talking to each other, but a little bit more from a distance. They're starting to separate out, okay? And right now, what we have is Saturn in Sagittarius square Neptune, and that's going to be going on not quite as long. It's not going to be quite as long. But it's interesting because last year I had a look at that. It was like, oh, Saturn square Neptune, I wonder what that's going to do. So I went and I had a look at other times in which Saturn was square Neptune in the past. And in every single one of them, there was some god-awful war thing.
thing. Oh, that's nice.
It was like, okay, this is not looking so right. This doesn't feel so great. But luckily, it doesn't last very long, this you know, the Pluto-Uranus thing altogether was 5 years. Okay, between one thing and another. It was about 3 years where it was really, really intense, okay? And but the Saturn Neptune, I can't remember how long that is, but it's definitely not as long as that, okay? It's I think it's probably a year or two. I have to have a look. I haven't actually looked at how long it's going to last, okay? But Saturn is a much faster planet, so it should be over much sooner. But I think that in general, you know, one of the reasons which we also know how some of these things go is because although we are here and in this lifetime, I'm Katie and you're JP and so on, many of us have done this before. Like, we went through a process of this kind during Atlantis, for example. And we also have been through this process on other planets because this quote-unquote ascension process is actually not uncommon. And I am going to go back to my favorite thing that I always tell people to read, that is the raw material, right? Law of One raw material in its original form and not translated by any other teacher, which I will not name.
who might sound like Kermit the Frog at times.
Sorry, I don't know. I am not going to comment. I'm just saying a tiny thing, and I'm not commenting.
Say your tiny thing. Just go on.
Okay, but the raw material is very good because, in some ways, it is the most nuts and bolts description. If you can actually read through it, and I recommend that people do, even if it's kind of difficult to read in places, because when I was reading it, and this was years ago, I think in 2001, I was reading this stuff, I kind of stumbled into it. And I was like, I wonder why I'm reading this book. I'm not understanding a word of what it's talking about, right? And then towards the end, I actually had a picture in my head. So it's almost like, read it even if you don't understand it, and towards the end, you'll actually understand it. I think it's a download of some kind, okay? And so
sounds like it opens a portal in your head.
Well, it does. There's something that happens, even if the words are kind of complicated in places, because it's the beings that are talking from. It's, you can tell that there's some translation almost difficulty going on, right? I have to say, Katie,
I did object to being called a distortion.
So did he call you a distortion?
Well, implying that everybody here is, you know, this is that I, you, me, her, Galaraka, everybody was a distortion. You know, I thought, oh God, you know, can't we be nice? You know, can we start off being friendly? You know, anyway, sorry to interrupt your flow, but they have a weird way of communicating, these Ra people.
They do, but I understand what they're talking about when they talk about the distortion, because what they're talking about is they're having a lot of interference, and if you read the fifth book, they actually explain a lot of that, right? It's almost like they were being psychic attacked 24/7 while they were doing that work, right? So there was a lot of talk about how to minimize distortion in whatever was being communicated, because they were having a hard time getting that stuff coming through, right? And in fact, the guy that I think was the questioner ended up committing suicide very soon after that thing was completed, okay? Because the psychic attack didn't stop. And, you know, in the past couple of years, I've had direct experience of that particular kind of psychic attack, and it's no picnic. So some of that conversation that they keep on having is, they could have probably left it out of the book itself, but it's their own group's way of trying to minimize, you know, kind of the interference that they were having, right? But anyway, going back to the actual juice of the books, the juice of it is that there are worlds that are worlds of polarity, right? So worlds in which there is a light and a dark side. That is intentional, that it's not that this is something that has gone terribly wrong, although in some worlds it can get out of hand, and I think ours is one of them, right? And that the veil was put in place on purpose, and that the veil was put in on purpose because there was a stage in which there was no veil and nobody grew and did anything. Basically, we're like, whatever, I'll grow tomorrow, right? You know, I'm having a good time, and yeah, I know I should probably grow, but I don't really care, so I'm not going to, okay? So then there was this thing of the veil that was put in place and the polarity, and then people had challenges to overcome, and then some of this growth happened as well, okay? And also, the other mechanism that seems to be universal is that at some point, every one of these worlds, and we call them worlds, because I think that we, even our idea of astronomy and how we see outside of Earth is actually, I think at some point we're going to see that things are quite different from how we imagine that they are, okay? It's almost like each one of these worlds is like a pocket, it's like a video game in which you can enter, and they are connected, but they can also be separate. And in each one of these, at some point you have the opportunity for a shift at the collective level where the whole of the system can upgrade a level, all right? And these are the points that they used to call the harvest, that the New Age people call the ascension, that the Christians call the rapture, and so on. There's a reason for which this word is all over the place, and it's because there is really, truly times in which there is an opportunity for a shift to a higher level. And years ago, I remember hearing about all of this and thinking that this was going to be a really fun, pleasant thing. We all go to the higher level, right?
I'll take sandwiches, yes.
That's right. Oh, yes. I want a light body too. I will get that. Okay. But the reality is that there's an opportunity for a shift because the frequencies and the energies rise very rapidly. And there's an opportunity during that to do a lot of growth all at the same time so that both individually and collectively we can rise. However, it's a steep process, okay? Now, the additional thing that we have in this reality that we're in right now is that we have already been through many shift points on this planet, on planet Earth, and each time, pretty much, we flunked. And this is not to be nasty to the poor Earth people, right? But generally speaking, we have not managed. And so the dark forces on this planet have become particularly entrenched, okay? So then going through that shift point that we should be going through has become more challenging. As a result of that, one of the ways in which things are kept fair is that, okay, so things have become a little bit more challenging, so what are we going to do? Are we going to put these people in front of, or these souls in front of something that they can't overcome? No, we're just going to inject a whole bunch of new souls into the system, or relatively new souls, right, of high voltage that have skill into going in and kind of helping with this kind of situation. And they will support and kind of push things forward so that this world can shift. And in the raw material, it used to call these kinds of beings the wanderers, and again in the new agey thing it's like the stir seeds, or you know, angelic beings or whatever, and in George Green's Pleiadians it's the ground crew, whatever you want to call them, okay? These I call them the light forces. They're kind of like a delta light forces squad. Right? And you have two kinds of these. There's several kinds, but two major kinds. And one kind is very, very light, and they're very angelic, and they're very love-based, and very often they go into healing and helping people through that kind of path. And then you have some that are more like intense, and those are the ones that go directly into the fight with the darkness, okay? And very often you will find that those kind of souls, they are what you would call the ones with the one ray.
First ray.
Right. Yeah, first ray. Okay. Because first ray is power, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, okay. But they have that at a high level. They don't have it, you know, it's they have that at the, like at the soul level or at the monad level.
It's a monad level, and it's not obvious. Yeah. So you could have a really, like, you know, generally people regard first ray, you know, first ray physical is like a long, thin, very tall, very dominating. Yeah. Or a first ray personality is very dominating, like a Hillary Clinton or something. But a first ray monad... first ray soul is like royalty people, you know, and it's quite reptilian. The first ray monad, you wouldn't know them to walk along the street. They could be a tramp, they could be somebody serving your ice cream, you know, they could be anybody because they're placed in society to be what they are. Not obvious.
Yes, and they usually have a really, really, they're strong. Like, they're strong, but they're strong at, I'm just going to describe these. I don't know if it matches with your first ray monad, but it's almost like there's a strength in them, but it's a strength that is aligned with source, and it's not dark, okay?
The way I see it, it's like a Kong. Have you ever seen a dog chewing thing? It's made of this hard rubber, and it's even the toughest dogs can't even chew this thing. You know, it's the toughest rubber, and this way is it. You know, you can bite us, you can chew us. Don't matter what, you know, like, but in a beneficent way. It's not like we're going to come back and take revenge on you, but it's like, oh, come on, is that your best?
Exactly. Well, it's the development of spiritually aligned power, right? Because you do need power. One of the things that has happened very much in the spiritual world of Earth in general is that power has become something that only the bad people covet, and that very often, because of that, the spiritual people reject it, right? But you need some, at least some of the quote unquote light forces that have a very strongly developed sense of power, because if you have to go against dark power and you have to overcome dark power, you have to develop light power. Okay? So a lot of the souls that were sent here or that volunteered to come here or whatever are ones that have a very well developed light power. Or that they have it there and they can pull it out if needed, right? Although sometimes it feels to me that we have to go through our own set of earth initiations to kind of bring that part of the monadic consciousness into true being. Because even if we are, I'm saying we because all of us here, I'm sure, are of this kind, right? This kind of information is the kind of information that usually it solves from this particular kind of group that are kind of interested in it, okay? We may have a really high voltage soul or oversoul. I used to call it oversoul, you call it the monad, it's the same thing. And but that does not mean that we have necessarily learned how to embody it in our 3D reality. In fact, I know one person in particular that I know has this particular kind of consciousness, however, is not managing to embody it down here. And I think we all struggle with that somehow, because once we're actually in this reality and we are in the reality in which there is the veil, then we often forget not just about what the expanded reality is, but we also forget about who we are. So we all go through a process during which we remember who we actually are. And when we talk about awakening, very often that is what we're actually talking about. It's not just that, oh, all of a sudden I have a mystical experience and I see the world differently. What part of that awakening process that I think most people go through is that we start to remember who we are. It's like, oh, wow, I have this memory of this thing and I can see this thing. And it's not about getting caught up in the ego around that. And in fact, if you do that, you lose voltage pretty fast, so not recommended to get caught up into the glamour and the ego of all that. But it is about remembering who you are so that you can bring all of yourself here. And when you can bring all of yourself here, then you can use that to do the job that you came to do. Okay?
Yes.
And that, I think, is actually one of the trickiest parts of this journey. Because there are many obstacles to A, remembering, and B, then embodying all of that. All right? And most of us also have to work through very difficult childhoods as well. Because most of us also chose to embody into earth dysfunction, right? And there's a little booklet that is supposed to be funny, but it's actually the truth, although it's put in a very humorous kind of way, and it's called ET 101, and I really recommend people read it, because in some ways it says all of these things, although it makes it sound like it's some kind of joke and parody.
Yeah.
And
I found it in my bookshelf the other day. I might sort of pick it up and read it.
Read it. I find it very, for some reason, I love that book. Every now and then I read it and it kind of picks me up, but it's really, really true.
Here you go. I've got something else that will pick you up, Katie. We're at the top of the hour. I've got something else that will pick you up. I know you love this track.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Soul to soul. I knew you'd love it.
Yes. Good old early 90s music.
That's right. I mean, one of the things you don't speak about much, but something you do is you're always putting great tunes. It's like, where do you get this stuff from? It's brilliant. You always put a finger on the pulse. I mean, that's another side. You've been a DJ. Did you ever do DJing on a stage, or is it just?
No, I'm actually a dancer. My passion for music came through dancing, right?
Uh-huh.
And I performed as a dancer when I was 10 for my school, and I was very, very excited about it at the time because it was the first time that I wore black tights.
Ooh, like an adult.
It was Donna Summer. I feel, what is it? I feel your love.
I feel love.
Yay. So anyway, so that started me on the whole dance track, right? And so I was very into dancing all the way through my teens, all the way through my 20s, right? And I also had, my stepfather is a musician, and my granny was a musician. She was actually making records in the 40s. And so basically, there's always been music in Mali. So when I was growing up, we listened to music all weekend. I often used to wake up on a Sunday morning with my stepfather playing the guitar, right? So I'm used to having music around, right? And so I just love music, but I've never really DJed or done any of that kind of stuff. I used to sing and I performed some jazz at some point in my 20s, right? In London.
We are going to have to have a Desert Island Disc show.
Yes. So anyway, but music is very close to me. I love music, right? And I love art in general. It's fun. It's part of the creativity fun thing. So, yeah. So people that are friends with me on Facebook are tormented by my music. I don't like it. Very often when I post music, people defriend me.
Do they? Well, it's a good way of, sorting the wheat from the chaff.
It is.
Grind it off. Ooh.
Seriously.
Yes.
Music.
Yeah, come on, we need some, I only want hardcore people there. You know? You got to be able to stand this stuff. No, you have to enjoy it. Not enjoy
and one fun thing, at some point I had a regression, a past life regression, in which I was shown that I had 40 Tibetan lifetimes, and in one lifetime I was this really annoying monk, right? Annoying to the other monks. I was not annoying to myself. I was actually having a great time in that lifetime. But basically, my whole thing was that I went around and disturbed all of the monks with big horns and drums and gongs. So I was like bouncing around all the monks all the time going, hey, I know you're meditating right now, but listen to this wonderful gong. Boing.
Check this out. Oh, my God. But that sounds like me as well. That sounds like me. So yeah, I have decided that I need a bunker somewhere buried under about 200 meters of soil, where I can make a lot of noise and not disturb anybody.
Yeah.
maybe we could rent one between us or something.
Yeah, exactly. We should get together and have a noise session just to get it out of our system, right? And interestingly enough, I don't really like other people's noise. This is a very one-directional thing. I like to make noise, but I don't like to receive it that much, so I'm not sure. So, yeah. But if it's music, it's nice. I like that.
So,
where were we in our little trail around the multi-galaxy?
Grandstanding the shift. The idea that this thing goes on in other planets, on other dimensions, in other places, it's a cyclic thing that happens, and that we can choose to jump into it and use its snakes and ladders kind of game plan. That if you're good and you help others and you're nice and you're pleasant and all that stuff and you tell the truth and then you rise up you rise up and then and if you're bad you go down the snake. And isn't it interesting, it's a snake, it's a lizard, and if you go down a snake it's against the grain of the scale. So it's going to be a rough ride when you go down a snake. You see what I mean?
That's right. Especially in your next lifetimes. Like, very often we see people that seem to be getting away with stuff, right? And they may be getting away with stuff in the immediate. But I have worked... I'm trying to change a little bit the kind of work that I do because I'm kind of tired of the heavy lifting a little bit. But I have had a lot of people over the years that have showed up as clients trying to work through really, really difficult stuff. And, and you go and have a look and there's the past life history of some kind that, where you can see how this very difficult stuff is actually a manifestation of choices that they made a very long time ago. Okay? Like, not in this lifetime. So, it does seem sometimes that by going the service to self route that one can cut a lot of corners and so on, but actually in the long run that is not true. Okay. However, all souls to some degree will do a little bit of that because A, everybody has to have an experience of quote unquote darkness, but also there is a journey that the soul undertakes in which it goes into the incarnational worlds, and then when it's in these incarnational worlds, at the beginning, it kind of loses itself a little bit. And then it learns how to remember who they are while they're in an incarnation. So very often, if you go and have a look at the beginning of the reincarnational track of any soul that comes into, these kind of worlds with a polarity, you will find that at the beginning, almost everybody has some stuff that was not super great. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, I've got the bodysuit. What should I do with it? Oh, I can bop this person on the head. I'm going to do that. Bop the person on the head. Then the next lifetime, somebody bops you on the head. Oh, no, that was not so great. Maybe this whole bopping on the head is not so great.
And so it begins, because it never goes out that way. It's not, yeah, you bopped me on the head, I'm going to bop you back. And it doesn't stop until you get to the point of, oh, hang on a second. And that's the thing, that we,
that's right,
you know, we don't remember from one life to the lifetime to the next. So
yeah,
this is not fair. It's like, well, I think this person is victimizing me. Yeah. Oh, what? I don't know. What's the deal?
That's right. That's right. Well, I think it was Alice Bailey actually that talked about, and we'll talk about how the controversial thing about Alice Bailey. I still think there's a lot of truth in Alice Bailey's work, even if I don't think she was betting for the light team. That doesn't mean that all the information that's in there is crap, okay? In fact, a lot of it is exactly how it is, and I think that sometimes, you know, the dark forces have more accurate stuff than we do on some levels, because they're not distorted to try to fool us. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot of truth in those books, even if I know all of the associations with all of the various Freemason and Luciferian whatnots that go with it, okay? So I'm not unaware of that. And
it is published by the Lucifer Trust. I mean,
right, exactly.
But yeah, as you say, know your enemy, know who you're dealing with.
Well, and also the world is the world, and how it works is how it works. And these books are very much about how the world works, right? And by the world, I mean the world of the incarnation, the world of the soul, and the world of the monad, and all of those kind of things, the oversoul, whatever you want to call it. And the journey of reincarnation and all of those kind of things that go on within it, they are described there. That kind of information is kind of neutral in some ways, right? Because if you go and read the Hidden Hand document, it also tells you, which I think is another accurate document, it also tells you that the satanic stuff that we see, you know, with all the rituals and all that kind of stuff, is actually not the top of the pyramid. It is a level. And there is another level on top of that, and those guys are esotericists. I don't know if that word exists, I just made it up. They're esoterically orientated, okay? And so they have a purer doctrine, and they actually do understand their role as catalyst at that level, but that is a real pinhead of people within the elite, okay? It's like a little pinhead, but those are the guys that actually understand the whole picture. So we shouldn't be surprised that there is some esoteric truth in some of these books and documents that are in quotes from the other side. Okay? Did that make sense at all? I hope that did. But anyway, so going to the actual information, in the books at some point it talks about the path of incarnation, where there is the path of descent and then there's the path of return, right? And that is exactly what I have seen with working with people's past lives, is that there's this path of descent that is when the soul starts to descend into the physical worlds, and at the beginning we call that a young soul, and very often that is where the soul will make a lot of mistakes, okay? Now, usually a soul will then continue to evolve and will start to rectify some of those mistakes, and very often those mistakes will come back as karma during the path of return. That is the path of return to the higher levels of consciousness, and the soul will re-experience a lot of its karmic backlash during that time, but at that time more conscious, and they're actually better able to integrate the lessons that are kind of coming their way, okay? And one would think, well, why would they have to do that anyway? What's the purpose of going into that kind of journey of going into a world and then kind of getting all messed up with the karma and then having to come on the other side shake that off and work that off? Well, it's because while we do that, that soul becomes more experienced. It's almost like going into the video game and moving up the levels, right? Like you start at the beginning and you don't really know the rules and you get bashed up. In fact, video games are a great, great teaching tool, okay? Because in a way, that is, we're in a video game, okay? So you go in and you try to master your first two levels and then you get good and then you can start to rise up pretty quickly. Even if the challenges are bigger, you rise up quicker, right? And then there's the really experienced old souls that can get to their really high levels and so on. And then it's game over, no more incarnational realms. You don't need to be in a body anymore, okay? So the whole experience of being in a body and in a world with a veil is about experience. It is about coming into experience and having an encounter, an experiential encounter with situations and things that then will cause the soul to stretch in order to master these situations. And we do this, as I say, individually, and we do it collectively as well as groups of souls. And as groups of souls, we do this as we, in the process of transforming societies, right? Like, we're not just doing it for ourselves, we're transforming the way in which we operate as a society. And that is very much the game that we're in right now. We're in the process of transforming not just a small village or a small domain, but we're in the process of transforming a global collective society and in creating a new paradigm. And this sounds all very cliche, a new paradigm, paradigm shift, and so on. And one of the reasons which it is cliche is because this is the process that we have been shooting for the past 60 years or so, okay? So it's become a little bit trite to talk about these things, especially since we're not really shifting it that much, right? But this is the process that we're involved with as a group and as a collective right now. We are looking at this world, and we know that it's as it is, it's not really working for us for a start. If we keep going, definitely even the planet itself, I think, is going to boot us off at some point. Do you know what I mean? It's done it before. But the biggest process that we are involved with right now is how do we transform this world so that we can have a global society, which, however, is not the New World Order that the dark side wants to see, but one that is driven by a awakened human collective that has risen to the next level of what it means to be human, right? And that has also developed some strength and some mettle in shaking off a parasitic, power-driven, negative power driven, service to self orientated, what can we call it? Underbelly of a society that is actually kind of ruling everything, and we need to take the sovereignty of this planet back. Okay? However, keeping in mind that in some ways we have at the soul level, we have invited this consciousness to be here so that we could push against it and go to the next level ourselves, okay? Like, it's like this consciousness is here to operate as catalyst for us to go to the next level. And I think that in many ways we have done great. I mean, for a start, we're here having these kind of conversations. And, you know, I remember even 5 years ago going on YouTube, and there were barely any videos about certain kinds of content, and now it's flooded. And now, in fact, we have a different challenge. And the challenge is to actually find really high quality information, because now there's so much information, right? Like, before there was none. However, what was there was usually really high quality, right? And now we have almost like an overload of information. And in the middle of the information, there's different levels of it and also a lot of purposeful distortion. And I think that what you were talking about earlier about the fact that the truth movement are kind of like fighting with each other, one of the reasons for that is because there's a lot of distortion in the field. It's like now certain things have become much more widespread than they were before. Certain kinds of information are much more widespread than before. And so now there's a lot of streams within it that are distorted, and you can call it disinformation. Some kinds of information are distorted at even a higher level than that, in the sense that the people that are bringing forward the information think that they're correct and right, but they're actually being influenced by energies that they don't even know are influencing them. Okay? Very well-meaning disinformation. there's another level still, that is that as things become popular, they also become glamorous, and there's a lot of people that have, you know, we have to be very careful about not transforming what is supposed to be a movement into an entertainment industry, right? And I've talked about this before. I don't want to talk about it too much, but there is a little bit of that going around as well. And if we go down that route, then we have some people that become very popular and they become personalities, and that they pursue the path not because they want to create change, but because they want to have more power themselves and their own personality. And then you have a lot of followers that sit and listen but don't really do anything. That's not what we're supposed to be doing either. Okay? So, and that is a pitfall of the path, to be sucked in by one's own glamour. Okay? And we're all vulnerable to it. And we all should always check ourselves for that. Okay? That's a, you know, you have to check yourself and your motivations. Why am I doing certain things? What do I want? Am I still true to my path? And all of those kind of things. Okay?
Yep.
Yep.
Check.
Check. So, that's it, really. What else is prompt?
Well, yes, indeed. Well, because it's like you said, you know, like you were saying, the we're being turned against each other. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, in order to get to this place, there's a kind of intuitive part of it.
Yes.
And it just feels like the powers that be are still having a good old whack at and rolling out their plans, because they expected this to happen, because they've been reading the same books, you know, and they've got contingencies. So in the contingency that truth comes out, okay, we'll give them truth. We'll give them more truth than they can handle.
That's right.
In any one place. And we'll also throw a lot of other confusion in. So we'll throw in the flat earthers. Holy mother of Murgatroyd. Flat earthers.
Yeah, oh, but man. There's more.
There's more where they come from. They're called Catholic. No, because Catholic doctrine still says that the earth is flat and that the Pope owns the world. So, you know.
Yeah, and okay, so there's that stream, and then there's all of the various different kinds of you know, alien this and alien that, and it's like I'm not saying that any of these things are not true, but it's like we're here and we're trying, we have to be almost like stay focused on the goal. The goal is transform planet Earth. The goal is get rid of dark powers. Put nice light powers in place. Create nice new structures. Good world. Everybody's happy. awaken as much as you can, put lovely light bodies on, ascend. Ascend, not as
so
in
long
leave
and body. Thanks for all the cake.
That's fine. And it's ascend not as in leave body and like become winged being, but it's like ascend as in ascend to the next level of your own humanity, become the human being that we were designed to be, 12-stranded, fully empowered with clear skills on, and open heart, all chakras nice aligned, all of that kind of stuff. That is what I see as ascension. And then after that, when the life is over, a whole bunch of souls, if they want to, they can leave this plane, because they just came here to support and help. It's not that they want to come back here over and over and over, although it may be a nicer place to come back to at some point, okay? But then there's this other path that is good, but we have to also just be careful. Almost, it's a balance. And it's like information just for information's sake, because we need some information. The information, the reason for which we need information is because we need prompts for our own awakening. We need things that make us realize what we already know. We need things that help us to understand what the powers of the beat are all about at the beginning, because at the beginning most people don't know. And then we need to understand what they're doing so that we can counteract some of that, and so on, right? But then some of it goes into almost like the X-Files, right? Which is fascinating and interesting. And that, I feel, is where the powers that be really pollute the field. They start putting some really out there stuff into the, you know, into the mix. And then people get very bogged down and fascinated with all of these different threads of things, but they kind of go off onto a little trail. Now, it's great to learn about all sorts of things, and if you're drawn to do that, that's not okay, as long as one remembers why you're here, okay? And also, I don't know how it is for other people, but I know that when I listen to information, there's a part of me that literally within the first 5 minutes, I know if the person that is speaking is telling the truth or not. And if whatever they're talking about is real or not, or relevant or not. And in fact, very often I can't even listen for very long to somebody whose vibration is not quite right, because it gives me a headache or something, right? And so sometimes I won't even know what they say because I can't hear it. It just doesn't go in.
I get you. Or a heartache. Some people, you can just feel so much pain with them.
That's right. That's right. So what I would advise for people to do is really, you can even ask your own soul to enhance that and to say, you know, I really would like to know intuitively if it's worth wasting my time listening to certain things, or if I should believe certain things, and so on. And 9 times out of 10, you will just know. I remember very early in the game, some woman. I went to stay at this retreat, and this woman was in charge of it. And she was very switched on in some ways. And she said, just put your hand on whatever book you're about to read and ask for the percentage of truth inside the book. So I was like, okay. So then it was a game. For a while, I picked up all of the books, put my hand on it, and I was like, okay, what's the percentage of truth in this book? And the first number that came into my mind, you know, that would kind of be the one, right? Sorry about this. Hey, Trevor, I'm going to call you back, okay? All right.
Bye, Trevor. See you later.
That's Trevor.
That's Trevor.
And for people that don't know Trevor, Trevor is a great friend of mine, and he is very supportive of me and helps me in all sorts of ways. So we can send him blessings. He's having a really hard time right now financially, so let's send him some blessings that he manages to get his rent sorted out.
Okay. He could use some more money, couldn't he?
He could
use some more money.
He's had a rough year of his own of that kind, right?
Actually, right. You know, and I just want to kind of really kind of grind in here, because this is all part of the thing. One of the puzzles that we're set as we have to master a series of things here in order to make it work. And one of the things that we have to master is the art or science of manifestation. Now, you recommended me a book a while ago, and I've been looking at various angles of it, because work works for everybody, but there is a work for everybody, and everybody's got one of seven or however many attitudes, and you can get to it. And every time I've tried this, it works. And the idea, the phrasing is, I can use some more money. Every time I've used that one, I've got like 150 or 200 pounds just suddenly appears. No kidding. It's just really a good one. So we can all use some more money. And this is the thing. And my guest a couple of weeks ago, Sergeant McBoylan, was talking about how to counteract the AI, the Morgellons-y things. And he just says, you tell them to shut down, because you can. You manifest it. You manifest them to shut down. You just go to the mirror. You say to all AI components and nanobots in my body, shut down. Uninstall. Delete.
Yep. And it's true.
And it's true. And so it is. And that's the way, that's the next step that we have to do. It's like we have to ascend our way out of here.
Yes.
It's like being in the in Star Wars in the bin. Like the bins. Yep. You got to call upon a higher power, like R2-D2.
That's right. And let's talk about the money thing for a second, because money is actually one of the primary tools that the dark side is using at this particular stage, right? Maybe always, but at this particular stage in particular, for getting in the way of progress, right? Because if you have every single one of the, light forces, info warriors, whatever you want to call them, right? Soul warriors, blah, blah, struggling with financial issues, right? Then they're stuck in survival and they can't really do what they came here to do. So that is another, one way is disinformation, and the other one is, let's create an economic crisis so that people don't have enough money to provide for themselves and go into survival mode and get all contracted and go into their root chakra and so on and so on, right? So manifesting really is an important thing to learn, and managing one's own survival anxiety fears is also one of them too. And I went through a phase of almost 2 years in which there literally was not money from day to day I had no reserves, nothing, right? So very often I would wake up in the morning and I had 8 quarters in my pocket, and it was like, okay, so we have to eat with this today. And so I would think about, what can I do? Well, I can make a soup with beans. Beans are very cheap, by the way. You can buy a bunch of them for $1. So I figured all these soups that were super easy to make, and they were actually kind of healthy in their own way. And then, it was like, okay, so now I just have to trust that the money for tomorrow somehow is going to come out. And it always did. One day it was literally, I walked out of my house and I was down to 1/4, and there was a $20 bill on the pavement. Okay. So I picked it up and I was like, okay, under normal circumstances, I would probably go to look to who this belongs to. But I know, because of how spirit is working with me right now, that this is how I'm being provided for this day. Right. And there were things like that used to happen almost on a daily basis. There would be some weird thing that would happen where the money was provided to me or the food was provided to me. I had one day in which I walked out of my front door. I didn't have any food and there was 8 bags of groceries on my doorstep. Okay. And I didn't even know who had dropped them there. A couple of weeks later, I realized that it was one of my neighbors who had overheard something about the fact that I didn't have a lot of money and decided to do a whole shop for me. I had cans of food and oil and all sorts of things all landed on my doorstep.
How gorgeous.
Yeah.
That is so lovely. That is, and it really, because you can really appreciate when somebody does that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it was all really practical stuff. It was like rice and, you know, it was like things not perishable that I could use and could make a lot of stuff with, right? So very practical delivery. But the reason, the moral of this story was that 2 years was something that I knew, even while I was going through it, I knew that it was for a reason because I had already learned in many ways how to manifest what I needed and so on. But this was almost like the advanced course. How do you manifest from nothing every single day? Right? And you would think that that is the, you know, that somebody that is in that situation actually doesn't know how to manifest, but it's the opposite. It was a course in, what if you're a bird and every single day you go out and you flap your wings and without really knowing how the food is going to come to you? Okay? And if you get to the place where through repeated experience you learn that every single day the money does show up and the food does show up and the miracle does happen and it happens day in, day out, day in, day out. At some point, because of the repetition, something happens where you start to really trust that you're provided for. If you have that kind of trust, and I'm not saying that I have mastered this 100% because every now and then I still get a little twinge on it, but much less than, much
less
than.
We all get wobbly from time to time.
That's right. But there are situations now where in the past I would have had a heart attack from the stress and anxiety, right? And now there's a part of me that it's like somehow it will happen, and it always does, right? Somehow these ducks will come in a row, and they always do, all right? And if you can get to the place where that really truly becomes anchored within yourself, that somehow you are provided for, that somehow the universe is friendly and it will support you, and that somehow the ducks do get lined up in the right row if you ask in the right way, do you know what I mean, and your intent is pure and so on, then you are not manipulable. Because a lot of people get into that place of fear around money or survival or other things that they think that they need, even love and even sex for some people, right? And then they become easy to manipulate because that thing that they really feel that they need and they don't have allows them to be open to manipulation. And manipulation can even be something like, I will not live my soul path, but I will instead stay stuck in this boring 8 hours a day job that because I need the money. Okay? Now, sometimes that may be a good choice because it's practical to be in that job while you do something else. But sometimes doing that for the money is actually abdicating to whatever it is that your soul wants to do out of fear. And it's out of fear because you're afraid of not being able to create or manifest or support yourself or whatever, right? Whenever we get into a position where we no longer desperately need something, we achieve a higher degree of freedom, right? And it's a higher degree of freedom and empowerment that then allows you to move in a booby-trapped world like this one that is constantly asking you to compromise, right? It's constantly asking you in some ways to bend. And the way in which this world is set up is so that at the moment is not with light goals in mind, right? It's a very enslaving kind of world. So it is very important to learn how to work with one's own soul and with spirit in creating not necessarily abundance a la secret. I'm not really into that. Maybe that's why I don't have it. But more into liberating yourself from the system. Because then you become sovereign, truly sovereign, right?
Well, then you can speak the truth without having anyone unfund you because you said something against them or something like that.
That's right. That's
or
right.
Or what they believe in, or, you know.
That's right. It's a process, okay? It's a process. So, but, you know, the more you can liberate yourself from certain things, and the easier it gets, right?
Indeed. Indeed. In fact, if we didn't have to work every day to pay the rent, we wouldn't want to work every day, would we?
No, that is true.
Well, you know, there is stuff. I mean, if there was a way of earning money to get stuff, then that would be great as well. You know,
yeah.
You know, I want stuff. Well, I'm willing to exchange my time for that. Yeah, I'll help you do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And look at what is happening in our world at the moment, right? Rent and having a place to live has become so expensive for most people that it takes up all of their time just to create that. Like, it takes all of their time just to create rent, roof over the head, electricity, gas, car to go to work, right, and so on. It's like, and I'm not saying that this is a reality for everybody, but it is becoming an increasing reality for a lot of people. I think I read a survey the other day online, some article or something, that was saying that about 50% of Americans are living kind of in the you know, poverty or very low income zone, where they literally are just doing the paycheck to paycheck thing, okay, and paying their bills, and that's it. Now, that's a lot of people that are struggling. There's a lot of struggle energy, right? And is it because, I mean, it's fairly easy to see why that is. And it is because the cost of living has become sky high. And what people are earning has actually been decreasing, not increasing. It's been going down instead of up in most people. So you've got this very skyrocketing price of living, and at the same time, what people are earning is not so great. Okay, so obviously, you know, a lot of life force energy is going into just maintaining and survival. Right now, that is by design. Do you remember that guy, Lindsay Williams? You remember him at all? He was
yes.
The guy he was the Baptist preacher. He comes out still every now and then. Baptist preacher that had some Mr. X that was a insider that he used to talk to every now and then, and every so often he would go on to Alex Jones's thing and spill the beans about what Mr. X was saying. And this Mr. X was somebody that he had met like 20 years prior in Alaska in some oil drilling fields or something, right? And he was a big elite person.
Yep.
And Mr. X died, and he found another Mr. X, so that was a bit suspicious, but whatever.
Mr. Y.
Mr. Y. Anyway, one of the things that Mr. X said, because apparently Lindsay Williams asked him, aren't you afraid of the truth movement and of people that are becoming more conscious and all of this, and aren't you afraid of all of these people that are going to take you down and so on? And he said, no, because we're going to orchestrate things so that the economy is going to become so tough that people are not going to even have the money to buy one of your DVDs. And they're not going to have the money to go to Washington and protest. And they're not going to have the money to do anything, basically, apart from just sit at home and maybe look at stuff on YouTube. Okay? So finances are one of the ways in which we're being held in check. And so it is part of a process to liberate ourselves from that and, you know, and to go to a different level with that too.
Yes. To that end, Nick, my dear.
Yeah.
To that end, you know, because we're 15 minutes from the end. And
okay.
Tonight I was scrolling up my Facebook while I was preparing for the show, seeing if there was any messages or anything. And thank you very much, everybody, for the questions for Simon Parks, but please don't ask them to me. Ask them on the show. And thank you, because Katie, what you did, you put some incredible jewellery that just kind of bling, bling, of course, but it wasn't jewellery. They were penduli. Yeah.
Yes.
What's
penduli.
So this is the thing, you know.
Yes.
You make jewellery. I am in the process of inventing little things. and they're going to be pretty, and they're going to be rainbow, and they're going to be healing, and it's just to have a little bit extra. And you have a range of lovely stuff. Talk about that for the last 15 minutes, and talk about how you love crystals and all of that business as well.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, it comes from love as well.
It does. I actually really like making stuff. Just making stuff is a form of meditation for me. It takes me into a different zone. So anyway, this summer I made a whole bunch of pendulums. I had this mad pendulum moment. And pendulums, just so that people know, they're for dowsing, so that you can ask questions and get your yes or no answers if you know how to do, to use charts with a pendulum. Then you can also ask questions and the pendulum will go to various places on the chart. There's a little booklet that, for people that want to start with that, that is called The Pendulum Charts. You can find it on Amazon. And there's all sorts of things about health and about psychology and healing and so on. It's about 30 charts, and you can just play around with those. And you need a pendulum to do that. And then there are people that use the pendulum for healing, because you can ask for something to be healed and the pendulum will swing while things are being healed and so on. So I use the pendulum all the time. I started making some pendulums for myself because I wanted to put some really good stones on them. And then I was like, oh my God, these are really pretty. And then I went through a mad rush of pendulum making. And I made about 30 of them. I've sold 10 and there's 20 left. So you can have a look at them. If you go on, I have an Etsy store, you know, those stores where you can post stuff online. It's called www.etsy.com, and then the name after is Vibrational Treasures, right? And if you go on there, you'll find all my pendulums. Now, if there's something on there that you really like and it's too expensive, just send me an email and we'll see. You can negotiate with me. As long as it's not so inexpensive that I'm literally not earning a penny from it. You know what I mean?
But you are willing to exchange big bags of rice delivered to your door, for instance.
I am, absolutely. Big bags of rice and beans.
Beans.
I love beans.
A selection of beans from all around the Mesoamericas.
There's so many different kinds of beans, and you can make so many good things with them.
That's great.
Okay. So, and also the other thing that is going on at the moment in terms of, you know, the work stuff, I am doing my holiday sale that is still going until the 18th. I'm offering sessions at special rates, and I'm also introducing something that I feel very guided to put out there at the moment. Because I've been spending a lot of time clearing and working with people's blockages, and I spent several years clearing a lot of entities even very big ones, and I still continue to do that, right? But I feel that we're moving into a place where many of us need to go into our higher levels, right? And I've always offered that as a service to help people to go into multidimensional levels and connect with their soul energetically and activate their light bodies and so on. There's more than one. And but very often people don't really understand what that is all about, and so they're kind of focused on the, well, I have this blockage and I just want to get through that and so on. So at the moment I'm kind of encouraging people to go through these activation processes because they are very helpful. And one of the ways in which they're very helpful is because it helps people to see that they are bigger and there's more to them than who they may be aware of just in the 3D. It helps them to expand. And when you expand in your own self-awareness, the world starts to look different and you come up with different ideas and different solutions even to your own stuff, okay? So that is also a special at the moment. If anybody's interested in any of this stuff, just email me. You can go to my website and do the contact thing and send me an email through there. And I will send you a copy, okay, of all of these things. And the website is reclaimingthelight.com. All right? That's my promo.
Somebody wants to exchange crocheted things.
If they're beautiful, we can talk.
Yeah. Well, you see, you know, there are people who do all sorts of things here in Wolf Spirit Radio, all sorts of interesting crafts, you know. And really, like, you know, I was saying that you were saying, you know, you go into a different zone. When I'm designing something with a little battery and the circuit and it's all kind of pop, 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 oh, yeah, I can put the switch here and it all grounds out through this and, yeah. You know, to me, that there's a meditation somewhere in there. It's a focusing of my mind, and I turn into a happy 5-year-old. And the more I do that, the better I feel, and I haven't done it for a while, so I miss that.
Yeah, well, and the creative process in general, you know, on in our world, it's not always rewarded very well, but most people that have creative professions are very happy because it's a nice process. The universe is creative in itself, right? If you have a look at how the universe works, it's constantly in a middle of process of creation and destruction. Destruction in the sense that creations, they reach a peak and then they start decaying, but then you create something else, and there's this constant cycle of creativity going on, right? That is, I think, how we are naturally wired to function. We are naturally wired to be creative beings. And even this process that we're in is a creative process, even at the collective level. It's just that it's a creative process in which we're being pushed to create something that we're not necessarily sure how to do it. Do you know what I mean? So it's pushing for us to go into very deep resources to come up with the creative plan that we need to resolve our world situation. But human beings are highly creative beings, and in their natural state, they're creators of beauty, not creators of darkness, right? So that's kind of how I would like to end the show. Embrace your creative self.
Well, they're all...
Be beautiful.
I'm just looking at the chat room here, and they love your stuff, by the way. I hope you get a couple of sales from this, at least. Colleen is a... Aqua Aura Swarovski bead? Sounds. I don't want to say what that sounds like because, you know, I'll get it wrong. So,
yes,
I imagine it's pretty.
They're very I'm a girl, so I make girly things.
Girly.
I make girly higher dimensional tools.
Uh-huh. Good. Good.
Every now and then I have men that are interested in my stuff, so I have to, like, I've made custom stuff for men where I have to kind of become a man for a second and think about what I would want, and then I can do it. You know, I have to embody the masculine for a second, and I'm like, okay, let's go.
Very good.
I can do this.
So it's been lovely, and you say, oh, I might come on for half an hour. All right, you always say that. But anyway, thank you for having plenty of steam and plenty of creativity. And it's as I said, it's always great fun. ReclaimingTheLight.com?
Yes.
KatieGalanti.com?
Yeah, there's not that much on there at the moment because I'm recreating the site.
Mm-hmm.
But just send me something through the contact thing and I'll explain stuff. And I've got files that I can send you and stuff and so on. Okay?
Plenty of stuff. You've got plenty of material. I mean, it seems like you've got a library of stuff that you're now ready to kind of distribute as a kind of whole.
Yes, in fact, on the personal level, that is my plan for 2016. My progress son is just about to go into Virgo after being in Leo for 30 years. And my goal is to really nail down a whole bunch of writing. I want to publish all sorts of books that I have half written. I need to finish them all and just get them out. And I also have several courses in mind, and I want to start teaching. Because I have been doing the healing work now for over 15 years. I'm now at a point where I want to teach it more than I actually want to do it. So that's the time to start
teaching. That's what the world needs. We need more practitioners. And
that's right.
So the only way to have practitioners is teachers who understand the stuff and can get through it. Maybe we should do some more Earth University stuff. Yes, that's another step along the progress. Katie Galanti, thank you so much. This has been...
All right, again. And happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays.
Have a great Christmas.
Ying, ying. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Beyond.